Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, I love those words. Mornings are mystical and sacred. The earth rises from its slumber to greet the coming day that unfolds before us. But this morning did not feel mystical. This morning did not feel sacred. Mary Magdalene did not want to get out of bed, even though the orange glow in the east was spreading across the sky. Sitting on her bed, Mary said the Modè Ane, which is the customary. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, I love those words. Mornings are mystical and sacred. The earth rises from its slumber to greet the coming day that unfolds before us. But this morning did not feel mystical. This morning did not feel sacred. Mary Magdalene did not want to get out of bed, even though the orange glow in the east was spreading across the sky. Sitting on her bed, Mary said the Modè Ane, which is the customary Jewish prayer of the morning. Blessed are you, Lord God, ruler of the universe. I give thanks to you, living and eternal King, for you have mercifully restored my soul within me. Your faithfulness is great. But her words didn't offer the usual comfort as it normally did. This morning, the words felt heavy in her chest. The last few days seemed a blur. The Passover meal with its prayers and rituals, family and friends gathered to recite the ancient story. It seemed so long ago. Jesus' strange words that night as he passed the bread, "Do this in remembrance of me." It now made eerie sense. She didn't really think it could happen, but he was gone. They had come for him, right there in the garden where they had often met to pray, to talk, to be with Jesus, the garden that held so many happy memories and so many stories. Now he was gone. She had followed the next day in disbelief with the other women as he made the slow, agonizing walk to his death. Mary had stood there numb and in shock as they drove the nails, as he breathed his last. She had comforted his mother. The words wouldn't come. The words couldn't come. All she could do was hold on to his mother. She followed to the garden as they laid him in the tomb. He was dead. It was finished. But the burial rites still needed to be done. Sabbath meant that they couldn't do the customary anointing. But today, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, she had a job to do. Mary dressed as if it were still a dream. This wasn't happening. She made her way down the street to the waiting women. With a silent nod, they joined in slow procession to the garden, to the tomb. How were they going to move that stone away? Early on Tuesday morning of this past week, while it was still dark, I woke up to the sound of my daughter calling me, "Mom, Mom!" With that urgency, I knew something was wrong. I jumped out of bed and ran to her bedside. In the past weeks, our family cat, a Siamese Himalayan cross, was not in good health, and we as a family were anticipating his imminent death. His breathing had become shallow, and within what seemed like a few days, he had lost his ability to climb stairs, and we could see that even walking exhausted him. Now, our family didn't have this cat his whole life. He kind of ended up in our lives. Before my sister and brother-in-law divorced about 15 years ago and went their separate ways, they made a trip to Victoria with their beautiful cat named Catechus Mau Mau. That was his name, and that is what we called him. Mau Mau for short. They came over with the cat in order to grant permanent custody of the cat to their nieces and nephew. And my children were very young at the time, so of course they were very excited about the prospect of a new pet, which made it very impossible for us to say no. Never in a million years did Thomas and I think that we'd have a pet in our house, let alone a cat. We traveled a lot, and I personally had an aversion to cat hair all over my clothes and all over our lives. But if it wasn't for reluctantly agreeing to make a bad situation a little better by providing a home for the cat, we would probably have been a petless family all these years. The kids adored Mau Mau right from the beginning, especially Maya. And eventually all of us grew as fond of our little fur baby, but none of us loved this cat more than Maya did. On Monday night, I just felt like I wanted all the kids around the supper table, and so everyone came home for supper. We talked about Mau Mau's health. He had a pretty robust and adventurous life these last 15 years, but lately he was showing signs of extreme weakness and age. And we as a family agreed that the most humane thing to do would be to take him to the vet the next day and expect that he wouldn't be coming home again. So that night we surrounded the cat with love, petting him and telling him how much he was appreciated. But of course Maya stayed up late with the cat, stroking his fur and making sure that the cat wasn't alone. So when I heard her calling me on Tuesday morning, I expected the worst. Just that I expected the worst 15 years ago when my sister left her cat with us in the midst of her own broken relationship. A relationship ending that had affected us too. We too had lost a family member in all of this, a brother, an uncle, and we felt the brokenness of that. I never anticipated that the story would continue to unfold. It felt like such an ending at the time. The last thing we expected in this scenario that seemed hoisted upon us was a new relationship, not just with the cat, but a new kind of relationship with my sister and my brother-in-law. One that was different, but still very much alive. What I didn't recognize that was right there in front of me was a new opportunity, a different opportunity to care. We expected death, but we found some life. As Mary and the women approached the tomb where they had laid Jesus' body, they found the unexpected. The stone had been rolled away. It was empty. How could this be? What have they done? They have taken him. One final insult from the people who had robbed her of her friend, her teacher. They must have taken his body to deny him the proper burial. The stone was rolled away. With tears trailing after her, Mary ran to Simon Peter. "They have taken him," is all she could get out. Then the flood of tears came. "They have taken him." Looking into the empty tomb with the stone rolled away, someone was sitting there and said, "Why are you weeping?" "Don't you understand?" she said. "They have taken them." A voice from behind her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for?" That voice, it sounded familiar, but it couldn't be. "They have taken him. Do you know where?" "Mary, Rabboni? That voice, the familiar voice of the impossible. How could this be? Destroy this temple, and in 3 days it will be rebuilt, echoed in her head. What could that have meant? He's alive. Jesus is risen. Go, Mary. Go and tell the others. New tears, different tears, as she ran to tell the good news. I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. Early on Tuesday morning, as I went to my daughter's room, answering her calls to me, I found her weeping beside her beloved cat, who had died in his sleep. She had accompanied him in love to the very end. This cat had accompanied our family in love to his very end. I was glad in that moment that our family was together. I was glad that we chose to share a meal and be together this last time. I was glad that over the years and throughout their childhood, our family had been unexpectedly given the chance to experience the love of a pet. I was glad that over the years we had sent photos of Mau Mau to my sister and to my brother-in-law. Each of them remarried, but always remained interested in their old pet. I was glad that the family that my sister had adopted Mau Mau from kept in touch with not only my brother-in-law, but also with us through Facebook. We reached out to them in Vancouver and my brother-in-law in Georgia, and we exchanged some photos of our cat, taken over the years from when he was a kitten until recently. How absurdly unexpected to be connected to people that we'd never be connected to if it wasn't for the life of a cat. Even though we Googled that it's probably not legal, we prepared a grave together for the cat. Maya beautifully and tearfully painted a large rock that she had collected from the beach to use as a headstone. And then we as a family took a moment together to share in love our final goodbye. Thomas and I remarked on how this couldn't have possibly have been a better death for any living creature. To be accompanied and loved to the very end. Early on the first day of the week, in that liminal space between light and dark, between what seems unimaginable and what seems clear, something ethereal happened. Early on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene expected to find death, but instead she found new life. How many times have we ourselves stood in the same liminal space as Mary Magdalene, not knowing how the story unfolds? Perhaps if we reflect on the stories of our own lives, we know only too well what it means to expect death, but to find life. We know what it feels like to follow on Good Friday, only to be confronted with the resurrection on Sunday. We have stood there peering into many an empty tomb in our lives, with the stone rolled away, expecting the impossible, or experiencing the impossible. We never seem to go looking for resurrection. It's not the way it works, as much as resurrection finds us. Jesus' resurrection is about God loving us so much that God is willing to go to any length to find us in all the twists and turns and unexpected places, to redeem the most unredeemable places of our hearts and our stories of our lives. Because like Mary, we go looking for God in the familiar, in the places we expect to find God. But in Jesus' resurrection, God finds us when we are weeping, when we are at the end of our rope, when all hope seems lost. God rolls back the stone that binds and confines us. God stands with a familiar voice to call us to new and unexpected life. And this is the story of our faith. So in a world that expects death, Easter people see that God's life is all around us, even if it's unrecognizable at first. In a world that expects Good Friday, may we go and tell of the life and the love into the ways of the resurrection in our own lives. People of St. Mary's, go and tell of the life transformed by the one who healed. Go and tell people of the one who blessed the broken and welcomed the outcast. Go and tell people that do this in remembrance of me is a real thing. Go and tell that God calls us to live God's love in our life, in our neighborhoods, on the street corners, in our cities, in the world. This is what we are called to as Easter people. Go and tell everyone that God was there, that God is here, and that God will be there. Go and tell that God finds us and loves us and redeems us all of the brokenness and sorrow of our lives through Christ Jesus our Lord. He is alive and love is resilient. He is risen. Alleluia.